We're going to turn in your Bibles tonight to the 13th chapter of the great epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 13. At the beginning of this epistle to the Romans is the setting forth of the great doctrines of the gospel. And then when we come to the last chapters, we come to the practice of the gospel. The gospel is not only a thing of faith, but it's a thing of practice. And if the gospel lays hold upon us, it has a life-changing character. It changes your character. It changes your attitude. It changes your prayer life. It changes your Bible reading. It changes your discipline before God and your desire to serve Him. And in this 13th chapter of Romans, and in the verse 11, it says this, "And that knowing the time, now that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." And God will stamp His word with the seal of His divine blessing and power. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, as we turn to Thy word, may we behold wondrous things out of Thy word. Lord, give us the awakening. Give us, O God, the stirring. Give us the arousing of our souls this night. And may we press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I take the promise, Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. We were looking on the Lord's Day on this great theme of awakening, the great theme of being aroused by the power of God, the great theme of leaving aside the sleepiness and worldliness and sinfulness of backsliding, and to come into the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This passage here is a parallel to the passage that we were looking at on the Lord's Day. And if you look with me at verse 11 to verse 14 of chapter 13, we have a wonderful passage which covers the matter of our being aroused out of our sleep. You will notice, first of all, that we have in this passage of Scripture They know. The know of the text. Verse 11. That knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The Christian can only move in the passage of God's will when he knows what the will of God is. Truth known becomes a dynamic power in the life of the Christian. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lack of knowledge in the life of the believer and in the mind of the believer and in the soul of the believer leads him to darkness, to sleep, to slothfulness, to backsliding, and to prayerlessness. But in this text, we have this great knowledge, that knowing the time. The people of God should be studiers of the watch of the Bible. They should consult the watch of the Bible continually. And they will discover something that it is high time to awake out of your sleep. It is time to awake. It is high time to awake out of sleep. As we saw on the Lord's Day, it is not possible to know anything when you're asleep. The world around you may not exist when the man or woman is asleep. All is gone as far as he is concerned concerning his knowledge. And alas, today, God's people are through the subtlety of Satan and the power of the devil unable to read the watch of Scripture. And the Scripture is telling us something. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Before Jesus Christ comes, the whole church will go to sleep. You say, why do you say that? Because Christ told me that in the parable of the virgins. And they said, five were wise and five were foolish. But the wise ones were foolish as well as the foolish. And when they waited for the bridegroom, they all, underline the word all, they all began to slumber and to sleep. There wasn't a bit of difference between the wise ones and the foolishness. Foolish ones, they were all asleep. And then they were all awakened. And when they were awakened, the five foolish ones discovered they had no lamp to trim their lamps and let it shine out. They were in darkness. The five wise ones had oil in their vessels as well as oil in their lamps. They had a supply of oil. The other ones ran out of oil. Have you a supply of your of oil, the oil of God, in your life? Have you somewhere where you can call in the reserves of oil to continue the light? Are you one of the foolish virgins that has no light? And then they said, give us of your oil. And the wise one said, no, because if we gave to you, we'd have none for ourselves, and we'd all be in darkness. So we're going to hold on to the light, the knowledge of the time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Look at it. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The bridegroom cometh. Did you hear the announcement today from heaven that the bridegroom's coming? Did you live today in the shadow that's across your path that the bridegroom is coming? That he's on his way. My grandmother on my mother's side was a great Christian and a great godly woman. And from time to time, she used to go to the window of her house. And when her children went in and said, Mammy, what are you doing at the window? She says, I'm just having a little look out, dearie, to see if my Lord is coming. And that's the way she lived. And that's the way she died, with the shadow of the Lord's coming upon her. No wonder she was a powerful woman for God. No wonder her prayers blessed the neighborhood. No wonder her conduct became the gospel. So I'd ask you tonight, do you realize that it is high time to wake out of sleep? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You notice the no, the K-N-O-W, that's in this text. But come down the text a little farther, and you'll find that we're to awake out of our sleep. To awake out of sleep. Here we have the goal of the text. And this text sets the Christian going. Sleep has stopped him. Sleep has stopped his labors. Sleep has stopped his praying. Sleep has stopped his influence. He is to awake out of sleep. There is to be a goal in the Christian's part. He's to be a man that's going. I wonder, are we sleeping? Or are we going? I wonder, are we in the place of activity? Or the place of laziness? And in the place of tiredness before God? It's time, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Happy is the Christian that has learned the know of this text. But more happy is the scripture, is the Christian who has learned the goal of this text. It seems to me that many Christians are tired when it comes to doing God's work. When it comes to praying. When it comes to reading the scriptures. When it comes to preparing for Christian service. They have stopped. They have gone on to the sofa or under the blankets and they're sleeping. And while the world hastens to hell and they have in their hearts the truth that can save men and women from hell, they don't get that message out. They sleep. a sleeping Christian. And God has something to say. We're noticing this on the Lord's Day. Awake out of sleep. You can't stay in your bed and work for God. You can't stay in your bed and be active for Christ. You've got to get that word out onto your mind and into practice. Out of sleep. During revival times, the Lord awakes people out of their sleep. And suddenly, Mr. Spurgeon preached a sermon once, and he described how God caused an awakening in the church. And he described a Christian who was a lazy old rascal in the church for 20 years. And something happened. One Lord's Day morning, he yawned for the first time. It was the first sign of life. And then Spurgeon said, the next time he came to church, he nearly choked himself coughing. And they said, something's happening to him. He's wakening up. And the next time he came to church, he was found on his knees praying. And the next time he came to church, he was witnessing to those sitting in the pews that he had been converted. I believe that God wants to bring us along that road and get us away from our sleeping. And it's a great thing when a sleeping Christian yawns. It's the start of God on his heart. A great thing when he starts coughing. A great thing when he starts praying, and a great thing when he starts witnessing. Oh, that God would wake us out of our sleep. You know, you can read the Bible in a sleepy fashion and not take it in. The best way to read the Bible is to read it and take a few verses and then shut the Bible and see how many of the verses you read, you remember. And it's only as we imbibe the word that we awake. So we have here, first of all, to know the text. Then to go and get the go of the text into our hearts and minds. But look again, and you'll see the show of the text. What happens when this text comes to take fruition in our lives? Something happens. What is it that happens? We start putting off. Let us cast off the works of darkness. The works of darkness are sin. The works of darkness are sleep. The works of darkness are laziness, tiredness, worldliness, sinfulness, weakness. We have to cast off. The word there in the Greek is to throw out. It's a word that is meant about a in a house that's going to be cleansed, you throw out the rubbish. Well, that's a great thing when the Holy Ghost comes down upon the Christian and he throws out the rubbish. Our brother George, who used to be caretaker in the old church, died this past few days. He went to the old mission hall, the coal man's mission. He came under conviction of sin. And the Lord worked in his heart mightily. And he was moved by the power of God. He worked at Mackey's. And he went to Mackey's on Monday. And he was told to get onto the roof and to mend a part of the roof that had been smashed. And as he was on the roof, he took out his cigarettes. He had a packet of Willie Woodwit pines. And he put one of them into the mouth. And he said it was rotten. And he said, I took it and I threw it down. And he said, up there on the roof, all that I had heard the preacher say in the coal man's mission came back to me. And I threw away the rest of the cigarettes and I called God to save me. And he said, I fixed the roof and I fixed it well. I was in good form. And I came down and the foreman was there. And he said to him, George, you're looking very smart today. What's happened to you? He says, I have got saved. And George said, you'd have thought I'd shot the man. He stood there and he didn't know what to say. You've got saved, George. When did it happen? Up there on the roof this morning. And his afterlife witnessed to the fact that he was really saved. What did he do? He threw out the rubbish. An old elder in our Resharkin congregation called Wilson. He's a great old man of God. And he used to sing some of the great old hymns of the church. And he said the day that God saved him, he pulled in a van. And he said to me, all these things out of your heart are going down the road in that van. And he said, that day I flitted from all my past life and I started a new life in Christ. That's genuine conversion. I used to worry when I led persons to people to Christ if they would go on. But I soon found out that all my worries made no difference. If they were going to go for God, they would go irrespective. It didn't need anything from me. Salvation is of the Lord. A man used to come to hear me preach in the old church down the road. And he was an actor, a play actor. And he used to come to get a handle of the way I preached, the things I said. And then he used to get us mates together the next day where he worked, and he used to put on his show, the Paisley Show, and they laughed and laughed and made fun of the preacher. But one night I was preaching, and as I preached, the Holy Spirit laid hold upon him, and he came under terrible conviction of sin. And the next day he called up at the manse to see me. And he was standing on the front door mat and he started to burst into tears. I brought him in and sat him down on a chair and I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm going to hell, Mr. Paisley. He said, I have appeared many platforms, making a fool of you and casting slur upon you and your preaching. But the preaching has got hold of me. And last night in the church, he said, I could hardly stagger home. I didn't sleep at all. I couldn't do my work today. I'm a lost soul. And he wept. Thank God he came to Christ. And the next day he went in. He was a terrible smoker. He had learned to smoke, I think, when he had been in the army. He smoked about 150 cigarettes every day. He just ate them. And everybody knew that he was a smoker. And when he went in, there was a man smoking. And he said to me, it made me sick. He said, I vomited as I saw that man smoking, and I smelt the smoke. So he says, I put up a notice in my office no smoking allowed in this office by order. And everybody said, came down to see this notice. They didn't believe it. They thought it was another thing he was doing, another laugh. But it was serious. So at lunchtime he was a foreman down in Telephone House. He brought all those that worked for him in, I suppose, about 50 to 70 of them. And he brought them in and he gave his testimony how God saved him. And I worried about that man. Silly to worry. Would he keep off his cigarettes and go on with God? And towards the end of the week, I rang him. And I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing well." I said, "I'm glad to hear that. What about the cigarettes?" "Oh," he says, "they sicken me. I'm against cigarettes. They're dirty old weed. The dirty old weed of the devil." And he said, "I have nothing to do with it." I said, "Thank God. I believe you've got saved." He says, "I don't believe it. I know I am saved." And that man went on with the Lord. Today, he's with the Lord in the upper room, in the heaven of heavens. There's a show in this text. Casting off the works of darkness. Maybe there's someone here and you have gone back to the works of darkness. But what is God saying? God's saying, put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Take the old dirty rags off. The man came to his father's house and he was clad in rags. And the old father said, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." When a man or woman gets converted and gets to know the truth of this text, he not only gets to know of the text and the go of the text, but he gets to know the show of the text. He's changed. He's transformed. All things have passed away. All things have become new. But there's something more in this text. If you look at it, you'll find that he not only knows and goes and shows, but he foregoes. What does he forego? It says, concerning him he foregoes rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, strife and envy. Count them. There's six of them. Six is the number of the flesh and the number of the world. And here is a complete and total cut off of the world. One, rioting. Two, drunkenness. Three, chambering. Four, wantonness. And six, five is strife, and six is envy. Rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And when God works, he not only takes off the works of darkness, but he puts on us the armor of light. Armor of light. We have to forgo the works of the devil. It was the great writer John Bunyan who said, "Jesus Christ does not work or walk with the devil." And if you are saved, you'll not walk with the devil. You'll walk with Christ. And you'll have none of the fruits of the devil about you. And then last of all, we have not only the know of this text and the go of this text and the show of this text and the forego of this text, but there's the so and so of the text. What is it? "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference. You wouldn't compare the garments of Satan to our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do something else. Make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Don't you make any provision whatsoever. Rule out sin. Rule out evil. Rule out the world. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the putting on of Christ can we be saved, can we be sanctified, and can we be glorified. Salvation is Christ, and Christ is salvation. This is the way, walk ye in it. I hope that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts tonight. And I hope that we will be in obedience, that we'll know the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This is the way. Walk ye in it. May God help us to walk in that way for Jesus' sake.